Hey, listen, this is Mike Dean from Corrosion of Conformity, and you're listening to Maximum Threshold.
Automatic defense procedures initiated.
What we've got here is...
maximum voltage. Maximum power. Maximum carnage. This is Maximum Threshold. Call the show at...
440-709-4977.
Maximum Threshold. And here's your hosts, Dom.
It's unstable, but possibly worse.
He's actually quite smart. He just makes errors of judgment along the way.
Fantastic.
Incarceration, America's rock, metal, and tattoo festival returns. With Slipknot, Falling in Reverse, Five Finger Death Punch, Marilyn Manson, and 3 Days Grace. Plus, Beartooth, Knocked Loose, Lamb of God, Parkway Drive, I Prevail, In This Moment, Slaughter to Prevail, Acid Bath, The Dillinger Escape Plan, Killswitch Engage, and so many more. All Inkmates report to the Ohio State Reformatory on July 18th through 20th, 2025 to face your sentencing. 3 days of rock, tattoos, and the return of the haunted blood prison. Weekend and single day passes for incarceration are on sale now at incarceration.com.
Zombified. Hello, good people. Welcome to another fine edition of the Maximum Threshold Radio Show. Coming here live. Hey, today I'm just cruising around the city of Cleveland, driving around, and I thought, well, what the hell? I might as well just drop a really cool episode here on you guys. We got this episode of a real great interview for you. Michael caught up with the guys in Trouble. I thought this would be a great time to really let you guys get caught up with some Trouble. See what they've been up to. Hey, I want to listen to this too. I haven't listened to the interview yet as well, so I'm going to listen to it right along with you guys. Man, we go back a really long, long way with these guys. And, yeah, shit. Not just with the radio station, but, you know, as guys with the band and all that, you know. You know, Michael goes back a long way with them, too. And I remember, I mean, I got stories with them being kids, you know, partying with them back in the day. So, yeah. Yeah, I got, I remember telling Eric some stories about when they used to come to town, and they used to stay over at, you know, like one of my cousin's house, and just partying at his house when they used to come to Cleveland and staying over there. And that was wild times back in the day. Okay, well, without further ado, we got these other things I got to do. We got our little commercials here. We got Incarceration. Giving away a pair of tickets for Incarceration. It's a 3-day general admission pass. For the first person who text messages us back, email me back at mtrshow@gmail.com, and in the subject, say, I want my tickets. Just do that and just... tell me you want the tickets, and we'll try to get them to you as fast as I can, even though it's coming up next month. So and I'll put them in the mail to you, okay? Or if you're in the Cleveland area, we could meet up somewhere and, you know, I'll just give them to you. So we could do that. And so yeah, check it out, man. We'll be playing the Incarceration commercials. Going to be going throughout the show, as well as running throughout the day here on the network, as you can tell, because I know you people tune in and listen to other episodes that are on replay and all the other shows that are on our network, and I greatly appreciate all that. Also, we're going to be playing throughout this tonight. We have the rock and metal news, so we got the news coming on tonight, and we got the, I think, Ron again for doing this for years with us, man. Ryan is awesome. I thank him so much for doing this and being a part of the show. You know, he does this stuff because he loves it. And we really appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. And once again, I thank everybody for tuning in to this week's edition of the Maximum Threshold Radio Show. I think this is episode 608 or something like that, or 609. I don't know. We're way up there. We're almost on our 20th anniversary coming up. So, damn, 20 years of doing this. Look where we're at. Still doing this. It's been fun, man. Met a lot of great people. A lot of fun over the years. A lot of cool shows been to. Damn. Seriously, a lot of cool people we met. Did a lot of fun stuff together. Took you guys on the ride with us. Man, just think about it. There's a lot of people that, you know, for over the years we've made friends. You know, through the Eddie Trunk and through his chat room. We brought some of those chatter people along with us to Maximum Threshold. And I still talk to them almost daily, which is pretty wild. And also, that's basically how I met Michael. And he's been with the show and been in Voltan and the other bands with him. And so it's great, man. You find great people, you stick with them. And, you know, if your paths are crossed for reasons, you know, and you meet great people. So, okay, enough of this whimper-gay shit. Moving on to this interview with Trouble and the fabulous Michael Strong. Okay, I'll talk to you guys later. I'll see you guys next week, man. Thanks again for tuning in. Hey, and I hope you guys loved those interviews that we had last week with Bitsy Tulak, as well as Child's Play and Lita Ford. Those were great interviews. I love them. Okay, I'll see you guys, man. Horns up. Fist in the air. Woo. Damn, I sing like an angel.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael from Maximum Threshold and In the Pit Radio, and I'm here with the legendary Trouble, one of my personal favorite bands of all time. I'm here with Rick, Gary, and Rob.
What up?
How's it going? So, you guys are not the most active band, which kind of breaks my heart, because I would see you guys 5 days a week if you played 5 days a week and it was close enough. So, what's on the horizon for Trouble after this show?
We're going home tomorrow, and we're going right back into the studio to finish recording our new record that we've been working on for the past year. And it will be finished and released in 2026. And then we're going to get active.
Okay. That sounds fantastic. So, Rob, you've been in the band for quite a few years. And Gary, you're relatively new.
Yeah, I've been about a year ago I joined.
Okay. So, growing up, were you always a big fan?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was always a Trouble fan.
Yeah.
Since I think I first heard of the band when I was probably 15, 16, so that's kind of when I started.
Hey, easy, you're making us sound old.
Yeah.
So were you now like 25?
I'm 39.
So like you've been a fan for like 2 weeks now. So this guy right here, I met him in beginning of 1990, and he's the one who started my lifelong love affair with Trouble.
Good man.
Way back, like, I got original albums way back.
Yeah. And so, like, we don't even really like each other. We just stay together for Trouble. Like, we're staying together for the kids.
Keep that marriage together for the kids.
It's actually my shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, I begged him for years to sell it to me, because when we saw you guys on this tour, I was poor. I'm still poor. Yeah. But I didn't buy a shirt, and I'm like, come on, Rob, sell me that shirt. He wouldn't. I offered him like $200. He wouldn't sell it. 1 year, he gave it to me for Christmas. I think I cried.
I still have one of those left, but it's a long sleeve, never worn.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I saw it. I think my daughter took it now. She takes all my Trouble stuff now.
Yeah.
But she listens to country music, so.
Oh,
go figure.
She's selling it on eBay.
She's promoting it. Yeah.
So, your daughter like realize that you're a legend, or is she just like, yeah, dad,
I'm
whatever?
Dad. I'm dad.
Yeah, just
that's
dad.
It.
She doesn't think it's cool.
She thinks it's cool that I'm in a band, because she just came to see us at Milwaukee Fest for the first time in years, and she was kind of like all like wide-eyed going, oh, wow, this is a little bit more than I thought it was. But once we're in the house, I'm just dad. That's yeah. all, you know.
So, obviously, you don't have any kids that are old enough to go see a band.
No, I don't have any kids.
Do you, Rob, do you have any kids that...
Yeah, he doesn't listen to metal, though.
No?
No. He lives in Jersey.
You could do whatever you want with your kids, try to raise them right. But sometimes, they just, no matter what, they're like...
You could only bring a horse to water.
Yes.
You can't make it drink.
Yes. So, are you also from the Chicago area?
No, I'm from the East Coast.
East Coast.
Yeah, I was born in Philadelphia and raised in New Jersey.
And so what happens? You come to Chicago to record and then rehearse?
I live in Chicago now.
Oh, you live in Chicago now.
Yeah.
So
transplanted, yeah.
Which place do you go for deep dish pizza in Chicago?
Me, personally, I go to, what's the name of that fucking place?
I literally live in walking distance of Pequod's.
Pequod's, yeah.
But you need a reservation, so every time I walk over there, I never get in.
No,
so
technically
then I go
not
to, what's the other one out there?
Pequod's is the one. That's my favorite.
What's the name of it?
Pequod's.
Pequod's.
Yeah. That's technically not deep dish, though.
Hey, don't be fucking up our interview, buddy.
It is, though. It's deep dish.
Well, good no, pizza. It's pan.
It's good pan, pizza.
It's,
good
pizza. Oh, it's still deep enough. It's deep enough.
Yeah. Soriano's. That's what's about where you're
yeah. Well, there's...
Lou Malnati's.
Lou Malnati's
is fucking phenomenal. Yeah.
My uncle will always send us Lou Malnati's for Hanukkah. He'll send us like the frozen
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Like when I go, though, I like to go to. I don't want you guys to kick me out of the dressing room when I say that. But I'll go to like Girardini's. Did I say that right?
They're all
right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Okay.
I mean, most of the pizza is going to be similar. Most. Of
next
it.
Time, I'm going to go to that place.
Pequod, you should definitely
go. Get a reservation. Don't walk Pequod, up.
Well,
don't even
just see. Last year, Pequod's was voted the best pizza in the country.
Oh, yeah?
In the country, yeah.
That is
yeah,
awesome.
You can't walk in, though.
You can't walk in.
No, you got to make a res. Yeah. This is a real tiny place. Or get it to go. You can order it to go or something, yeah.
So, where can everybody find out all the news upcoming for the future for you guys, like when the album's going to be done, the tour, maybe buy some merch?
We have a Facebook page. We have a website. Do you know what they are? Fuck, we're going to get yelled at.
Oh, cats.
We're going to get fucking yelled at.
So
hold
the
on.
Facebook page, don't just go to Trouble at Facebook. There's Trouble, there's 1,000 Troubles.
Yeah.
Hold so on. Trouble Metal, Trouble Doom.
That's it, yeah. Trouble.
TroubleDoom.com and TroubleMetal.com.
TroubleMetal.com.
TroubleMetal.com. There it is.
There it is. TroubleMetal.com.
The only thing we needed to remember, we forgot.
Yeah, that's okay.
And then what about the Trouble website?
So how long have you guys been working on this new album?
Well, we've had it written for a couple of years now, and we kept booking tours to go to Europe, like, for the last 3 years, and then COVID fucked up, like two of them in a row. So we would go back in and like rework the songs, and then we finally got in and we laid some drums down, and we weren't really happy with where the tracks were, and we wanted to redo them, and the drummer at the time refused. He didn't want to redo them. So then we had to start over again, go find a drummer, and we found Gary, came in, and now we laid drums again. So now we're at that stage again, and we're putting rhythms down now. So we're at that point now. It's very clear where we're going and when it's going to be finished. So 2026 for sure.
Okay. So because obviously you and Bruce have been the foundation of the band from the beginning. Does everybody contribute to the writing, or is it basically you and Bruce?
I think the album's going to open with something Rob wrote. He wrote a cool little piece a beautiful intro that we're going to use. We take ideas, of course, but in this particular case, I think me and Bruce had a bunch of stuff written already, but we're always open to ideas, for sure.
And how do you guys divvy up the leads? Do you guys rock, paper, scissors?
No, you know what? It's kind of like if I write a song, I'll take the main lead, and Bruce will take the end lead, and if he writes a song, he will. Or if a song requires a double lead, You know, we just, you go like, this one sounds like it needs a duel, you know, and it's, and we try to keep them kind of even, you know, but kind of keep an eye on that, you know, for the most part.
But you guys both just, whatever seems best for the song.
Pretty
too,
much, right? Yeah. Because
there is really, the one true defining signature part of the sound is that dual guitar attack, you and Bruce. There's just...
You know, we've been in the band as long as I have. I never knew the writing process until recently, but it just seems to happen.
Yeah.
Like, there's not like, I wrote this part for you, I wrote this part for
right.
you. It seems like the guys who write the song will have their main solo, yeah. but then like, it'll fit in, and all of a sudden it's just there.
Yeah.
It just so cohesive. Kind of just fits together.
Yeah, it just happens.
It just works out.
There truly is magic with you and Bruce. That tone and you, that sound, you just know that it's trouble. And I know that many bands that have become huge, say like Metallica, have tried to steal that sound to no avail. You know,
I never heard that.
But I mean, like, it's. I think it's a combination of your fingers, your soul, and just your Marshalls.
Well, it's, you know, and we've been like jamming together for over 30 years,
yeah.
like, so it's kind of like we just gel. It's one of those things. You know, we grew up kind of together. Like, we were young guys when we started the band, and we had to learn together.
Yeah,
and it just, you know.
I noticed on this tour, even like so. People know the songs and people came out, and the people that were here for Paradise Lost who kind of heard Trouble but never saw it, or maybe heard a couple songs. So when you play the songs, and the riffs are great, but then when the two guitars kick in, it's like time's not like the room is just like, and I watch because I'm watching them do it, and everyone's just like hypnotized. It's hypnotizing. Like, I don't think people really realize it until it's happening in front of them.
And it is.
It's a magical thing.
Oh, for sure. Thanks, bro.
I actually got to see it in your hometown. I got to come to. We went to Chicago.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the first shows, and you guys rolled out the red carpet for us. We came up from Cleveland, and we were planning on staying. There was this big blizzard coming in. We were racing the devil to get back to Cleveland before that blizzard. Like, you could see it in the rearview mirror. But man, it was like seeing that in its birthplace was incredible too. I mean, I've seen it many places, and it never gets old. Like I said, if you guys played five nights a week and I could get there, I would be there.
That's awesome.
So the European tours that were canceled, did you get to make it over there?
No, we never made it because COVID was causing all kinds of issues with passports, with vaccination cards, with travel. It turned out to be like just a bad idea to go at the time. So 2 years in a row, I ended up pulling the plug on tours, and I think there were a lot of unhappy people, but you know what? I was just doing what's best for the band at that time. So. We'll get back over there. You know, we're going to do some dates in the state next year. We'll do some dates in Europe next year, and we'll see how it goes. We're just going to keep the ball rolling.
So, like a lot of older metal bands and hard rock and metal bands, I would imagine you guys are extremely popular over in Europe.
We have our moments, sure.
Like a band like that plays like a smaller, mid-sized club like this. It goes to Europe and they're huge, and a lot of guys are like, we can't really tour America because we don't make the money.
Right.
We go to Europe and we make a ton of money.
Well, there's a bigger metal crowd, a bigger metal audience in Europe, but it is starting to like come back in the States again. I'm noticing, and we notice all the time when we play out now, there are younger and younger people coming to the shows, you know, that younger than my daughter, you know.
It's definitely a resurgence.
Yeah. So we're hoping to like make the best of it next year by doing both, you know.
Yeah.
Because we love playing the States as well. And we love playing Europe, so.
Plus there's more festivals in the States now than
it does help.
Like Like they're doing European style festivals here.
Yeah.
That's what the driver is, really.
Yeah, like a couple of weeks ago, I came down here. They had the Sonic Temple.
That's one.
And
that's
they have
one
like
perfect example.
They kind of have a metal day, and now I'm like watching like Armored Saint, Testament, Metallica, Suicidal, and I'm like, they should have Trouble should be on this.
One of my good friends plays an Alice Cooper, and we're talking. He was at Sonic Temple, and he said that exact thing. He's like, this is a European style fest in the States. They finally got one right.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
Yeah, it would be really cool because, like a band I was really excited to see there was Acid Bat. And I've listened to them prior, just never got to see them back before they split up. And there were probably like maybe 10,000 people watching them. And I'm thinking, me and Jeff, we went together, and he's like, we're like, this is probably more people than they played to. And every one of their shows combined were heyday because they came up, and I'm like, it would be so amazing, like, to see you guys, to see that crowd, like, for you guys. That would be, like, something to see. Because, like you said, there's a resurgence, and people are discovering, and, like, when these younger kids, they find these bands that weren't, like, the super popular bands, and then, like, they latch, because they're like, oh, I found this band, and they really stay loyal, and they gravitate to them, as opposed to some band that their friends listen to, and they just go, and then they grow out of it.
Right, but what I'm noticing, too, is it seems like the younger generation is doing their research and learning the history of metal, too, you know, which is awesome, because then they can see a band like us and understand, like, where it came from, you know, where it built from in the 80s, you know, late 70s and the 80s to where it is now.
In New York City last night, there was, like, literally a 15-year-old kid right in front of me. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But that kid knew every word, where every solo was, like, just was like, and I got her, it was a girl, I just got her a signed set list.
Mr. Kyle Thomas.
Yeah. Speaking of little kids, like, Kyle's not here. Hey, man, is Kyle here? Kyle's not here, man. So, like, Jeff's kid would always sing When the Sky Comes.
Right.
Like, when he was like, God, that's been how long, I think, since we've seen you. This kid was like 4 or 5. We took him to Sonic Temple. He's about to turn 16.
Yeah. I think it was 12 years ago.
Yeah. Since Kyle's not here, let's talk about him for a second. Do you guys ever have a hard time? Do you guys coordinate the schedules between, like, Exhorter and when you guys might potentially do shows?
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever we get offers and we decide that we might like to do it, like, that we shoot an email and ask him if he's available, and if he is, we make it happen. And if he's not, we make it happen later. So we work around it.
Yeah. That's pretty cool because, like, I know, like, it's irrelevant in a way that, because Kyle's the guy, but Kyle was kind of given Eric's blessing in the end. Do you guys ever, like, when you're, like, on stage jamming, and do you, like, ever just feel his spirit anywhere in these songs from way back when?
Yeah, I mean, we just did a show in Chicago, and I think in January, where we did a special set, and we just played the Skull album in its entirety. And just rehearsing those songs, you could feel Eric's presence. Yeah. It's weird, like, you know, because we haven't done them in so long.
Yeah.
But I remember telling Bruce, I was like, this is really cool, like the nostalgia and the feel, like, you know, playing these songs, you know. Yeah. And he does such a great job, like, covering, you know, the vocals on that. It's amazing.
I think it's Kyle's voice is obviously different. It's so powerful, but there is there's that soul and emotion in it,
right?
And he does a great justice to the songs without just being like that kid in Journey that's just impersonating.
Right, exactly. Like, we were talking about that last night. So strange, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle, like, grew up listening to us as well.
Yeah.
You know, so he gets what we're about. He's got a soul, you know, in his voice as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's not trying to copy what Eric did.
Yeah.
He's trying to do it justice, basically.
Yeah. He brings that emotion
absolutely
out in us.
Right.
when he sings those songs, we feel that emotion.
Yeah. That's then we're doing it right.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
Like I was lucky that I formed a friendship with Eric. And Eric always spoke kindly, kind of.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much about Corey, but Kyle. I mean, he loved Kyle.
Well, Kyle respects the art. You know what I mean? And does his part to represent it well. You know. Yeah. Corey, man, he was like, you know, Corey's Corey, man. You know,
that's the best way to say it.
He filled the gap for us that we needed. We had some shows we needed to play, and he was available. And it was almost like an audition. That, you know, see how that turned out. So,
hey, listen. There's kind of a reason why almost half of marriages end in divorce. Yeah. Like, I mean, even Eric that you guys started with, it didn't work out.
I mean, no, it didn't. So, at the end, you know?
I mean, there was, you know, you had the beautiful kids.
People then, drift in different directions. Yeah. It's that simple.
And it's okay, too.
Right.
You know? But I'm very excited to hear that there's a new Trouble album.
Me, too.
This is very exciting news.
Yeah.
Like, this is good news for people who love good news, and I love good news.
I think people are going to enjoy this lineup a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, when we're laying tracks and shit, I'm even like getting goosebumps here and there. I'm like,
are you left-handed, Gary?
Left-handed, no.
Oh, I thought we were sticking with only left-handed. Yeah.
Well, he was left-handed, but we made him learn to play
right-handed. Because Marco was left-handed, right?
Yeah, Marco.
And Barry was left-handed. Yeah. Yeah.
But Ole was right-handed.
Yeah, and then Ole was like, I know I was talking to him one time, and he said he tried to like play open to so he could be. Like kind of mimic Barry's parts because there definitely is a difference with a left-handed drummer.
But no, you'll get a look at him tonight. That's all I'm saying about that.
That's why
pressure's on, buddy.
We're watching you, Gary.
That's it.
We're not going to watch anybody else. That's watching you.
Well, that's why a lot of people have problems playing Gene Hoagland stuff, like the Death stuff, or you know, because he plays open-handed as a left-handed drummer with a right-handed setup, and because of that. There's just a lot of unnatural parts that he comes up with. So that is a big difference.
It was neat watching Ole play Barry's stuff. Like, because he's a very musical drummer. And
Ole's a great musician.
Yes.
I think that's why Ole's able to pull stuff like this off. I mean, Ole could play multiple instruments, you know, other than just drums. And he was raised in drum corps. He gets it. You know what I mean? He's got it in him. You know, some guys just got it.
Are you nutty like Ole? Do you have a maniacal laugh?
He drinks about as much as I do. Tell you that much right now.
Do you use deodorant?
I do use deodorant. Okay. Yeah.
Not much.
I'm not going to say Ole never did, but
but, I think it's the drummer's curse.
So we should wrap this up because you guys are getting ready to
We're going at
to rock this shit out of this club. Yes. So TroubleMetal.com and keep an eye on their official Facebook pages. Are you guys on Instagram or any of that other stuff?
No, they keep knocking us off for some reason.
Okay.
Keeps getting hacked.
But they got a new album coming out next year, which means a new tour, which is exciting news for all of us. Thank you for your time, guys.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing this.
It's been a pleasure, man.
Yes, thank you.
The Lord shall endure forever. For he hath prepared his throne for judgment. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken those that seek thee. Yeah.
Hey, what's going on? This is Barry from the band Shinedown, and you are listening to Maximum Threshold Radio. You know that's right.
Hey guys, this is Ron from YouTube's Rock and Metal News, and this is your Maximum Threshold Rock and Metal News Report. Select performances from the upcoming Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival in Manchester will be live streamed through Hulu. Among the performances due to air are sets from Megadeth, Queens of the Stone Age, Insane Clown Posse, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, and Wisp. You can see a complete list and schedule for each day over at hulu.com/Bonnaroo. Max Cavalera and his brother Igor Cavalera announced a new tour, and they will play another Sepultura album in full in the fall. They are touring under the name Cavalera and will play the 1993 album Chaos AD in full. Support is from Fear Factory. General on sale tickets June 13th, 10 a.m. Fear Factory have been in the studio working on their new and 11th album, which will be their first since vocalist Milo Silvestro joined the band. Australian metalcore band Parkway Drive performed on June 9th. It was a set of their material with a full orchestra at the prestigious Sydney Opera House in Sydney, Australia. The entire concert was billed as a black tie event, was professionally filmed for a future live release called Home. They played a pair of song debuts, including their latest single, Sacred, and 2015's Deathless Song. So you can catch that on YouTube. Continuing with your MaximumThreshold.net rock and metal news, Nailed to Obscurity have released a new song called Spirit Corrosion, out now on digital retailers and streamers, plus a music video on YouTube. This is the fourth advance song from their upcoming fifth studio album called Generation of the Void, which is due out September 5th through Nuclear Blast. In an interview with Scratch and Sniff and SNSMix.com, Papa Roach vocalist Jacoby Shattuck spoke about the progress of the songwriting and recording for their new album. He said, "We've got about 5-6 songs finished up. I'm headed to Nashville later today. I'm going to a NASCAR event and then headed to LA to go back in the studio and wrap up some new tracks. And so we're well into this new album. No release date yet. So stay tuned for that." And finally, Ashes of Ares, the U.S. heavy metal band featuring former Iced Earth members Matt Barlow and Freddie Vidalis, will release their new album called New Messiahs in Europe on July 18th and North America on August 8th through Roar. The official music video for the album's second single, From Hell He Rides, is now out on digital retailers and streamers. This is Ron from YouTube's Rock and Metal News with a Z, and this has been your Maximum Threshold Rock and Metal News Report. Thanks for tuning in.
Are you good?
You just listened to Maximum Threshold Radio Show. Airs live every Saturday night, 8 p.m. until whenever the fuck they shut up. So tune in.
It is pointless to resist.